Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to My Favorite Takeaway, the show for people who love food. Can't always be bothered to cook it. I am Tom Crane, and with me as always is the wonderful
Simran Shah.
How are you, Sim?
Yeah, I'm good. Tom, I made a curry yesterday. I thought I was doing a really good job.
I nearly said very on brand, but I thought that might be.
But you said it anyway.
Incident.
If you'd said I cooked fish and chips, I would never have said very on brand.
What would you have said? Who does that? Who cooks fish and chips? That's what you'd say.
I was in how exotic for you.
So you cooked a curry. Let's find out very briefly. What was it?
So this is the thing. When you cook curries at home in Indian households, you don't give it a name. But I messed it up because I over-toasted the fenugreek seeds. I crushed them. I put them in the curry. After 45 minutes, I tasted it. I should have been tasting it more often and earlier in the process.
Yep.
And it was bitter. And I was like, I can't eat this. This is terrible. I was faced with a dilemma. Do I just throw the whole thing away and start again in half the time because I was hungry, or do I try and repair and fix it? And I decided to throw the lot away and start again from scratch. And I made a better curry in half the time. And there's some lesson in life there. So
yeah.
I don't know what it is. Okay. But something to do with fenugreek and it's something to do with time.
What was this bus replacement service of a curry that came in as your secondary option?
I refer you back to my previous answer, which is there's not a name for it. Tomato, coconutty, prawny thing.
So was it improv'd? Had you just kind
of
created the curry?
I only ever did curry improv. What are you talking about?
So cool.
Is it? We've done this for 30-odd episodes. No Indians are following a recipe for making a curry.
So growing up in an Indian household, you wouldn't go, I'm going to make, for argument's sake, a dansak or whatever it happens to be.
No.
It would just be, well, we'll play with the spices, we'll see what the...
Absolutely not. There is not one Indian household that is going to be like, I'll have a chicken bona tonight and I'll make it from scratch. You're not doing that. It's an insult.
Okay.
Your grandmother would be sitting, what the hell are you talking about? So anyway...
Rolling her eyes.
Rolling her eyes.
Take me now. You mentioned the idea of repairing your curry. I've now got a new idea for a TV show, which is basically, it's Repair Shop, very popular for food. So people bring in dishes that have gone wrong midway through the cooking. And there's a skilled chef there who goes, well, I'll sort this for you.
It's just a bit of seasoning every time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just put a bit of salt in, carry on. It's the equivalent of Tevi turn it back on and off again. Right, let's get on with the show.
Let's do it. Have we got any correspondence?
Yes, we do. Got an email here from Jo from Essex. And the subject is subliminal messaging. She says, hi, guys. I've just listened to the Marcus Brigstock and Rachel Paris app where they mention how they say, well, this has got takeaway written all over it. And it made me chuckle as my husband and I have our own unique way of suggesting when to get a takeaway too. We go for a subtle subliminal messaging approach where one of us goes, I don't currently know what you fancy for dinner.
Nice.
I don't know how, but it seems to work every time that our skillful subliminal techniques always prompt each other to reply, fancy curry. How genius is that?
It's hardly the imitation game, is it? We're not talking about Bletchley Park here, trying to get through that code.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's very Derren Brown, is it? I mean, you've just put the word curry in your question of what do you fancy for dinner.
Do you know what? We mocked this, but I'm absolutely going to start doing that now. It's fun. It's playful.
It is fun. It
seems like cool, fun people. You know, life's too serious. This is what you need. A bit of joy, a bit of lightness, a bit of levity. Should we try it? Try and subtly tell me using this code that you want to have a takeaway tonight.
I'll tell you what, I'll drop it in at some point later and see if you pick up on it.
Okay, perfect. Would you like to introduce our guest? And I will have one ear peeled for the point where you mentioned you want to have a takeaway, because it's definitely going to be in this section now.
Our guest is Susie Curry Dent, And Susie is...
nice, lovely.
Susie's obviously the fantastic lexicographer on 8 out of 10 Katz's Countdown and Countdown. And she is a wonderful guest who is not just brilliant with words, but really, really fun talking about takeaways. And she's actually got two books out and is on tour. She has a book called Interesting Stories About Curious Words. And her second book, which is out on the 5th of October, 2023, is called Roots of Happiness, 100 Words for Joy and Hope. Tom, I'm going to give you three of those 100 words now. They are
lovely:
Mubble Fubbles, Giggle Mug, and For Bliss. Do you want to have a guess at what Mubble Fubbles means?
Mubble Fubbles. Let's go with when you're confused and in a bit of a head spin. Everything's rushing and you're making a mess of something.
Not bad. Not bad. Let's go to Giggle Mug.
Giggle Mug is the hilarious mug that you're given at Christmas by a naughty friend. You put tea in it and then there's something on the front and their clothes fall off.
Okay, you've gone quite literal there. The For Bliss.
For Bliss would be the feeling of ultimate relaxation.
Okay, not bad. So for the first one, Mubble Fubbles, it's not head spin, but it is a slightly sad mood.
Ah.
For the second, Giggle Mug, it's not a mug that you give your naughty friend, but it is someone who never stops smiling. And I guess in a way they are a bit of a mug if they never stop smiling. For Bliss, close to ultimate relaxation, is extremely happy. So there you go. For Bliss is exactly the perfect description of how he felt after this episode.
Delighted to say we are joined by the wonderful Susie Dent, whose takeaway has turned up on time, which is not always the case for this show.
It's a rarity.
Often the food has turned up after the record is finished. So it's good to see food here. What have you ordered and from where? Let's kick off with that.
Okay, well, I thought I'd go for something a little bit different. So there's a lovely local family-run Greek deli near me called Manos. And Manos is Greek. And he does the most amazing salad. So I'm going to show you what I've got here, which is feta salad, of course, tabbouleh, chickpeas, aubergine maybe, and this rather special clay pot I have.
Oh, yeah.
It was delivered in a clay pot.
Yes, which you get to keep. It's gorgeous, isn't it? And it is veggie moussaka, which I happen to know is also really delicious. So, I've got both of those.
Does it feel like the price of the pot has been included in the dish? Is it one of those ones where you go, oh, okay, that's amazing, because that feels like the sort of thing I'd buy from a souk on holiday and I bring back and put on the wall rather than the plastic Tupperware I'm used to for my takeaway.
I know what you mean. A, it's good he's not doing plastic, and B, well, it's probably cheaper than if I made moussaka, and it's a hell of a lot better. But obviously, it's a family-run deli, so it's probably slightly more expensive, but honestly, it's worth it, and definitely for a treat.
So this is called Manos, and this is where in, is this in London? Where is this?
I'm in Oxford, and it's in Jericho, which is slightly bohemian, very beautiful part of Oxford, quite close to the centre.
So why are you a fan of this sort of food? Why have you gone for this food?
I've gone for it because it's healthy, for a start, because you probably both know what it's like, but when we're filming Countdown, I feel incredibly spoiled. We're up in Media City in Salford. I feel really spoiled because there's so many lovely restaurants around us, but it is still takeaway. So everything we eat all day, every day is something from one of the many takeaway places, which is lovely, but they are really salty and also sometimes lacking in fresh veg. So sometimes when I come back, the first thing I'll eat is a jacket potato because I just for some reason long for a jacket potato when I come back.
I wouldn't say those two things necessarily follow. That you've been starved of fresh veg, so the first thing you have when you come back is a jacket potato.
I should make it clear. Yes, I have jacket potato with huge amounts of salad. Okay. And it does. It comes with all the good stuff, but it's just, I just want plain food. I just want something that hasn't been touched, I think, by other hands. So that's why for this takeaway, I decided, you know what, I'm going to do something special. So I went to Manos.
Lovely.
Have you been to Greece?
I have been to Greece, but a long time ago. I went to Rhodes and completely melted. That's on my abiding memory. I was about 12 and it was so, so hot, but beautiful. And I went to Symi, which again, when I was young, and I think it's one of the Peloponnese islands. And I just remember sitting, I was kind of teenage, romantic, wistful, slightly melancholy, and watching sponge divers for hours. And that's pretty much the story of my life, sitting on my own, watching people and lost in my head.
That sounds like bliss.
Susie, would you say you like to eat at a leisurely pace in general, or do you like to eat at a sort of faster pace? Because if you that kind of Greek Mediterranean vibe, it's a sort of take your time situation. Whereas I feel here, especially with the takeaways, you're shoving that stuff down, you're moving on with your day.
I know, and that's so sad. I don't speak Spanish as well as I should, but I think they have a word, sobremesa or something, which I just gave an Italian twist. But it means it means the conversation that you have at the table once dinner is finished. It's one of those kind of lovely, slow, leisurely exchanges. And I wish we have it. And in Italian, there is also a word, which is passeggiata, which is the kind of Sunday afternoon stroll, which often precedes like cake and coffee and stuff. And you go out to be seen by friends and to see friends, but you don't arrange to meet them. It's just everyone is there. And I feel quite sad that we don't have any of that, that we just go to the local shopping centre and Mackie D's. I don't know. So I would love to have that kind of lifestyle, but sadly we don't.
I suppose the weather is a key component of that, isn't it? The sun is what draws you outside when you're abroad. And that's, I'm always sort of strolling through city streets in a way that I live in London. And I never do that at all. It's so much to see, but it's kind of, you know.
That is very true, actually. Although with the kind of hotter summers coming our way, for good or bad, I suppose maybe we'll have more city. And during COVID, everyone sat outside. That was actually one of the few positives.
See, this is the good aspect of global warming. No one ever talks about the benefits of global warming. You always hear the negatives, don't we? All this rising sea levels, all this sort of stuff. But, you know.
You can now have your olives and anchovies outside, which I think is what's lovely. So, Susie, take us back to growing up. Didn't you have a lot of takeaways growing up, or were you, or was that something you only did later?
Definitely later. So, my mum was a stay-at-home mum, always cooked fresh food for us. Probably found it quite boring, actually. I think she kind of loved baking. I'm not sure she loved cooking. So really lucky from that point of view. And I remember on a Friday night, the whole family would go out and we'd have a wonderful Indian meal somewhere. Or I tell you what, a family secret. My dad's idea of a good time after we had gone to the library on a Saturday morning, which was really fun. And I loved it, as you can imagine. I loved it. And I swapped all my lovely books and got new ones. We would go and hang out at the Little Chef. Do you remember Little Chefs?
Of course, yeah.
And I would always have their pancakes, which were kind of American pancakes stacked with maple syrup. And I don't even think we had berries. I think it was ice cream. That was lovely. For my sister and me, that was really special. Sometimes we're going to have fish and chips in Jack's Place, it was called, in Egham. And we would sit in. But we didn't go to posh places. We just went. But, you know, it was still a dream for us. It was still really special.
I remember that excitement of Little Chef as a child.
Do you? Oh, good. It's not just me.
Hugely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Going down to Cornwall, we used to go, that's where we'd go on holidays in the summer. And the treat of stopping, especially because it was like part of what was such a boring, unbelievably long drive when you're eight.
Really yeah.
No feeling it was ever going to end. And this little chef would appear.
A beacon of lights.
Completely.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not the only one there, because I felt like all my friends were going somewhere much posher than us, and we would end up there. But it was really fun. Do Little Chefs exist now, though?
I think there's one left, weirdly.
Oh, and Wimpy's. Wimpy's we loved as well. Although I have a very sad memory of a Wimpy when I had just had my first braces put in, and they were the ones that were permanently attached. They were fixed braces. I couldn't take them out. And I just remember weeping because I couldn't eat any of my favourite food. So that's slightly marred the Wimpy memory.
What was your favourite food? What do you remember your Wimpy order?
Oh, just classic burger. Because it was named after Popeye's Wimpy, wasn't it? And you remember Wimpy and Popeye's just got these stacks of burgers. And that was just always the dream. So I have only been veggie for how long? Probably about 13 years now. So burgers galore.
We actually did a burger special of this show a few episodes ago, and Josh Widdicombe chose the Wimpy burger.
Oh, amazing.
As his favourite, because it was served on a plate. And this was the big thing for him, was he was all about, who formalised it and felt like how it should be done.
Yes, that's so true. No paper. And also they had those amazing ketchup bottles that were shaped like tomatoes.
Yes.
I loved those.
I love them.
Me too.
I wouldn't like it when it starts to get a bit concealed at the top.
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's the same with any ketchup bottle. It's a real design flaw.
My dad was quite tight growing up with money, so he's always trying to save money. And one of the ways he'd do it, he would water down the ketchup with vinegar. So we got to halfway through a ketchup bottle, he would top it up with another third of vinegar. So halfway through a ketchup bottle, the ketchup suddenly became disgusting.
But also just came out very quickly.
Exactly. Yeah, he genuinely did. Yeah. And so washing up liquid was topped up with water. Everything was, basically everything in the house was being constantly topped up by something else.
I thought you were going to say washing up liquid was topped up with ketchup. It was a nightmare in the house.
It's a really confusing point. Exactly. Growing up, you didn't have many takeaways apart from these occasions. Was there a point in your life when, let's say, when you were a student, or have you been someone who cooks for themselves quite a lot? What's your relationship with food?
No, I do love takeaways. I probably have more takeaways than I should. So I studied in Oxford. I promise I did go away between now and then. But I mean, there were loads of amazing kebab vans here and great chips. And there's still a kebab van that comes near me, actually. And we had some last night with just garlic mayo and a big, hopefully biodegradable plastic polystyrene thing of chips that you can't beat those.
Great. That sounds delicious.
This is a kebab van that pulls up near your house. This is
it'd be great to have an ice cream styling.
No, it's not an ice cream kebab van, Craig. Where does that exist?
I was imagining it. Yeah, exactly.
Would the music be for a kebab van?
Well, Turkish inspired music. Some kind of chime from Turkey, wouldn't it? It would be the national anthem, possibly. But yeah, it's a nice idea.
You do get mobile fish chip vans, don't you? But they don't exactly come to your house.
That's a good question. Why is the ice cream van the only van that goes around looking for customers? Why is there not a burger van that's searching around, stopping on corners?
Because the ice cream van, well, it's quite mafiosa-like, isn't it? So they've not allowed anyone else in. It's a racket over there. Great. That's why.
So other cuisines are desperately trying to start this and they're going, you're having none of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely having none of it.
You heard it here first. It's based on nothing rather than a hunch.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I like it.
Kebabs at dawn. I think that's a good market opportunity.
Kebabs at dawn.
Yes. Anyway, but as a student, so I discovered those then. But also there was very close to my college. It's not there anymore, but there was this lovely French bakery. And so we would be kind of teetering home at 2 a.m. after being up to no good in a club or something. And we would pass and all the bakers would be there already preparing all the croissant and stuff for the next morning. And we would forlornly just tap on the window. And because, you know, we were probably looking very desperate, quite often they would come and they would give us a croissant each, which was very sweet of them.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah. So that was one of my favourite takeaways.
So there's a hack then. If people are willing to go to bakeries at 2 a.m, they can get free pastries.
Well, I don't know if they do it anymore. Maybe that's why they went out of business. But bag of hot croissant, that was just the best thing after a night out. So I started to have takeaways when I could afford them then. And there's a lovely pub on St. Giles in Oxford called the Eagle and Child, which is very famous because a literary group called the Inklings went there, which included C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. And that was the most amazing pub food when I was a student. And the best was homemade lasagna and chips. Sounds an odd combo, but it was so good. That was, yes, I missed that. So I had my fair share and then moved to America.
So where were you in America?
I was at Princeton because I wanted to study a bit more, but also I wasn't ready for a job and I wanted to go to New York, and Princeton's just outside.
Do you remember the food much there?
At that time, don't know if it's the same now, but everything that you would expect from sort of Ivy League undergrads was true of a certain proportion of the students. So they would wear shorts from sort of March and Oxford shirts and that kind of thing. And I wore a lot of black at that stage and I would have these big hoop earrings, coal eyeliner. I wasn't a goth, but I did wear a lot of black. So I was immediately kind of different. Plus I spoke with a very obviously British accent. And yep. I suppose I've always felt like a bit of an anomaly, but I don't mind it. I don't mind sitting on the edges of things. And I discovered this great diner that none of the undergraduates or even graduates actually went to, because it was Princeton. There was a big divide between Princeton Township, which was quite posh, and Princeton Borough, which wasn't. And I remember there was a shop called Edith's Lingerie in Princeton Township, which was just full of very old-fashioned-looking sort of knickers and things. It just didn't work in a thriving student town. Anyway, behind Edith's Lingerie was a really lovely but slightly seedy diner. And it was absolute classic sitcom-style diner run by a slightly overweight but lovely proprietor and his slightly down at heel. I don't think she was his partner, but she just worked for him. And I'd go in and I would have a grilled cheese and tomato sandwich and sit and just work usually. And I was the only one. I never saw anyone else from the university there. Now, I loved it. I really loved it because it was very down at heel, but just felt very welcoming.
And were you sitting at the bar as in the movies? You know, was it a classic stall or were you finding a little booth in the corner? Where are you doing your...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Always a little booth facing the door. Nursing my sandwich and a cup of coffee. And I think I was addicted to Diet Coke when I was at Princeton, actually, because I had it on tap even at breakfast. So it's probably Diet Coke and a grilled cheese sandwich. And I was very happy.
And how did you find the food in America? Did you enjoy the food cuisine there? Or did you miss British food? I mean, that's not something you normally hear someone say, but what was your experience?
Well, there are in New York, there are a lot of, you know, British stores, which, I mean, the price is ridiculous, but you can usually get what you want. But I did, whenever friends came over, I asked for Branston pickle. I really missed that. So that was something I kind of held on to. But otherwise, no, it was lovely food. And then later, when I was working for Oxford University Press, they have an office in New York. So I would go there every year. And then I would sample the good stuff, like the soft shell crab and the things I couldn't have afforded as a student. So yeah, so that was great. So the New York cuisine was amazing. Princeton cuisine was standard.
When you came back to the UK, what was your sort of split during the week between ordering food in and cooking?
Well, when I came back to OUP, well, now I came back to London because my boyfriend at the time was in Camden. So I stayed there and applied for as many jobs as I could. And then I got the job at OUP and had by that time moved into my own flat, which I didn't own. It was a sort of slightly fair rented flat in Soho off Broadway. Oh, it was on Broadwick Street, looking down onto Brewer Street.
That's very central, by the way.
Yeah,
that is about as central London as you could possibly get. In the middle of the busiest bit, in the busiest bit of London.
Exactly. And the market was there every morning and you could hear, you know, pound a pound. Oh, it was just brilliant. I loved it. And it, when the rent was actually really quite reasonable. So we're really lucky. And it was kind of passed on from friend to friend. And I thought, I'm not moving from here. Now I've got a job in Oxford. I'm going to commute because this is too good. And I was in my 20s and it was just, you know, I just thought this is the place to be. So I would take the Oxford Tube, which is a bus service, from Marble Arch to OUP every day and then back again. Which actually, surprisingly, I didn't really get too tired about it until about a year in. And every time I came back in the evening, I would then go out to eat and meet friends. So I was on 13,000 a year when I started. Practically all of that, apart from rent, went on food around the place. Because there's, I don't know if you know that area, but
yes,
Andrew Edmonds is still there in Lexington Street. That was a lovely place to go for a treat. Or there was an Alistair Little restaurant, which I couldn't really afford, but went there sometimes.
So all your money would be really, your spare money was going into eating out, basically. Well, some of the best restaurants in London are around there, you know, and you've got easy walk to Chinatown, all this fantastic food.
Exactly. So it was kind of too good to be true. On the days that I did eat, I'm afraid I was really unadventurous and I didn't cook much. It was a fairly tiny kitchen. And when I came back from work and I didn't have a sort of evening thing planned, I would get myself a Findus Ocean pie, and which I loved, and loads of salad. So I've always been slightly weird about having loads and loads of lettuce with a dressing that was always lots of raw garlic, which I still love to this day, and oil and vinegar and stuff. So the ocean pie bit was probably really not very good for me, but I did try and balance it out.
So were you eating the pie out of the container in which you bought it, or were you putting it out onto a plate? Okay.
Yeah, onto a plate with loads of salad. Yes.
Where are you eating it? Are you eating it at the table? Are you eating it on the sofa? Are you eating it in bed? I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, always on a table. So it was a table that looked down onto Broadwick Street. So you could see all along it, really. And I'd be quite happily sitting there on my own and didn't really drink. I was just quite happy with a glass of water and my Findus Ocean pie. I hadn't thought about that for years.
What about now then? So if you're getting a takeaway now, similarly, are you the sort of person that sits at a table and eats it formally like that? How are you enjoying a takeaway?
Okay, so when I'm with the kids and we get a takeaway, I don't usually have takeaways on my own. So when we have a takeaway, we, particularly in the winter, I will put on a log fire, and we will either watch the telly or talk. But I've got this bench in my front room, which is, it's a bit like a big tree trunk, but it is kind of flat. And we'll kneel around and eat off that. Yeah, it's not formal at all.
So you kneel around it?
Yeah, we all kneel. We might grab a cushion. Oh, that's quite nice. Slightly itchy sort of koi carpet. So okay. Grab a cushion, kneel on that. Yeah, and then chat or watch telly.
That's really nice. I would find that too uncomfortable for me.
Would you?
I think I'm too fidgety.
Okay.
I think I'd be getting up and then trying to sit down on it, and then getting back down again and move my feet.
Well, that's me because the kids always have a real go at me because I'm very restless. It's the moment I sit down, I realise I haven't got anybody a drink, so I have to get up and do that. Or I realise that, something like that. So I'm afraid I am probably very annoying to eat with because I'm always getting up and down.
What sort of takeaway orderer are you? Are you an over-orderer? Are you someone who sticks to the same things? How would you describe how you approach that?
Do I over-order? I don't mind over-ordering though, because then you can have it the next day. So what I tend to do when we have our takeaway from our really good Indian restaurant near here is we have lots of veggie side orders. So the kids aren't veggie, but they do love all the things like dal or chana masala or Bombay potato, etc. And so we have all of those with some raita or something and rice and then heat it up the next day again if it's still there, even the naan as well. So I don't feel like we ever waste stuff. I'm not a great fan of takeaway pizza. I just feel like after the first slice, you know exactly what you're getting and it's just becomes a bit tedious.
Yes, that is actually not the first criticism of that kind we've had about pizza. You're sort of bored of it when you're four or five slices in because you know what you're getting. Marcus Brigstock was the person who said that, actually. Brigstock said that he just finds pizza repetitive as a takeaway choice.
It is. And there are some, I won't name names, but there are also some restaurants which also do takeaways, say they do noodles or that kind of thing, where I feel exactly the same. You sort of have two mouthfuls and it's just like, it's hard to explain because of course, once you've had a mouthful of something, you've got a lot more to eat, but there's just something about that particular chain.
I feel very strongly about this with soup generally. That's my thing.
Of course. Yeah, I get that.
Where there is no chain. It's relentless. It's just the same consistently.
Same texture, same everything.
Yeah, not a fan. Now, this actually brings me to a format point, which is made particularly for this episode.
Okay.
With pizzas, do you use a dip? Are you someone who enjoys a dip? I'd like to introduce our new format point, which is Diptionary Corner.
Oh, that is brilliant.
What are your top three dips? That's what I want in Diptionary Corner. I'd like to know your top three dips.
Okay. Always garlic mayo or aioli, if you want to be posh. That's number one.
Very nice.
Two, I quite like the sort of tzatziki type thing. Got here.
Do you like that when it's lumpy, when it's got the sort of...
Yes, I like the lumpiness.
The heavy bits in it, yes.
Herbs and cucumbers and things. So like with the raita, that kind of fits into the same thing. And if I've got a packet of Pringles, then Thousand Island, always.
Thousand Island.
That is such a good choice.
That is such a good choice and a rare one.
Is it?
Also, I get confused between Thousand Island and Rosemary.
Oh, yeah, like Prawn Marie Rose. It's the same thing.
Is it the same thing?
It's just mayonnaise and ketchup, isn't it?
But isn't that burger sauce mayonnaise and ketchup?
Oh,
no,
maybe.
I think there's more acidity to it.
To Thousand Island, maybe. I just remember when I was little, restaurants didn't really do starters. In fact, I don't really have starters still. But I remember not wanting the prawn cocktail or whatever it was. And so I would always go for what was always on the menu as a possible starter, which was a glass of pineapple juice because it was so exotic. that was my starter. Yeah, this is bringing back so many brilliant memories.
A glass of pineapple juice would be your starter because it was exotic.
That would be my starter. But it was on the menu as a starter, so it wasn't just me being weird. Yeah.
It's an off-menu choice, but okay.
I had an awful situation with starters about a year ago. I went out for a meal with Josh Whitaker, who's a very close friend of mine, and his wife and my wife. We went to a restaurant and they recognised Josh. And as a thank you for coming to the restaurant, they gave us all an oyster. But nobody in our group likes oysters.
Oh, no.
And for some reason, it became my job through politeness to basically finish them all off. So whenever the guy wandered away, I'd take someone else's oyster and go, and have it until all six had gone. And then he came back and oh, they were delicious. It's wonderful. But six in a row because I was the one person who wasn't quite so dead against them.
Ugh. I've only ever tried one. That was enough. It's got nothing going for them. The consistency, the salt water is just, yeah, I apologize to all oysterophiles out there.
It's a very real flavor.
It is a very real flavor. Did you have it with Tabasco and stuff?
Yeah, I did. When you tried it, Susie, how did you have it?
I tried it at a friend's wedding, actually. And I'm not kidding when I say half the guests ended up in hospital because of the oysters. Absolute truth.
We had the same thing, Susie. I had exactly the same thing. Yeah.
At your wedding?
No, not my wedding, my friend's wedding, including me and the bride.
It's a risky thing to put on, isn't it?
It is. So you ended up in hospital? Or just really bad food poisoning?
Really bad food poisoning. I'd say about 3 or 4 people ended up going to hospital, but it was a wedding of 200 people and half of them were gone. That's not great. Talk us through what happened.
Well, I didn't hear about it until the day after. But I was, the can of plaster arrived and there was this thing on there and I was talking to the bride's, my friend, it was the groom actually, his parents who were kind of childhood friends. So I couldn't refuse it. And they were all quaffing their oysters. I had absolutely no idea even where to begin. So I just kind of slurped this horrible thing down. But I was really lucky because I obviously had quite a good one or other people had lows. But I really struggle with seafood. I remember going to or being taken as a treat to one of the Conran restaurants, Pont de la Tour.
Yes,
by Towerbridge. And all this amazing stuff that would arrive on this platter. And I had zero idea how to use all these tools that came with them. And again, feeling too embarrassed ask. Yeah. I just tried to use my fingers and it just... Ugh.
Would you say you're risk averse when it comes to trying new things?
Oh, no, I will always try something. As long as I can get to it and don't have to use a chisel, I will definitely try. Yeah, because actually being a vegetarian, there's very little really that would be presented to you that would be absolutely disgusting because you're not going to get any of those dog's bollocks. You just get another vegetable, but usually in a really nice way. So maybe it doesn't count so much.
So you mentioned this food poisoning disaster, which brings us neatly to something we always ask our guests about here. Have you ever had a culinary disaster or a takeaway disaster? Is there something in your life where it's gone wrong?
Yes. Quite Perfect. Frequently. So I did once, you genuinely, in my cookery lessons, I went to a convent and most of the nuns who were also teachers were lovely, but there were a few that weren't, including Sister Mary, who was our cookery teacher. And she immediately assumed that I was a fusspot, which I probably was. And she would come up to me, she said, "Jesus, Mary, Mother of God, you're such a whatever," and have a real go at me. And in my confusion, genuinely, it's very hazy. So it sounds like I'm making this up. But, you know, people say, "Oh, I use salt instead of sugar," which is quite a standard thing. I actually used Epsom salt.
Whoa.
But I don't understand where I got them from. I can't remember whether I brought them from home.
That's
or
so
what.
Funny. You're quite right. That's not something which is just a hand. In that situation, it feels like you've actively had to find them.
It's not Malden, Epsom, black pepper.
No, I just don't know how they got into my cookery basket because we have baskets. But anyway, so I do remember that. That was a disaster and she tried it. And I kind of remember secretly hoping that there would be some after effects for her.
Very briefly, what was the food like in a convent? Was it a convent school? Yeah, what was the food like?
I had a particularly bad incident with, I hated cold meat and particularly sort of fatty, gristly meat, and it was always gristly. And if you didn't finish your lunch, occasionally you would be made to sit at a table outside the main dining room until you've chewed and finished it. So lots of occasions where I hid it in my cheeks and stuff, at my and sorry, I'm very rude. Anyone listening? I am, yes. And would, you know, regularly get criticised for that. But great pudding. So all the standard puddings that you hear about. Like, yeah, all those. You see, I really liked, you remember the, I don't know if you had school lunches, but they would have that jam coconut.
Oh, yeah.
Desiccated coconut and jam and custard, and I just always love puddings like that.
Oh, I love that stuff. That is really good. Yeah,
I love it.
Is that the one loophole as a nun? Your one area of sort of, I don't want to say joy, but puddings.
Yes,
is that the
it's puddings.
It's a sort of virtuous sin type thing. Yeah.
But a bit of red wine. But it was, I have to say, it was a lovely school. And the reason it was such a good school for me is that it wasn't very noisy because you weren't allowed to be noisy and it was very ordered and you sat down and you worked. Whereas I think today, you know, there's quite a lot of kind of noise and you could get really distracted. I didn't like any of the workshoppy type things. I just wanted to sit down and work. So it really suited me. Yes, I will always be grateful for that. Not Sister Mary, but but yeah, the puddings were good.
My grandmother, just briefly, was brought up Methodist. And she was so strict about this. So my mum signed the Oath of Temperance, all this sort of stuff when she was 8. But my grandma wouldn't have a pudding with alcohol in it. I remember that. Would refuse. So if there was pudding with anything at Christmas, you'd have the Christmas pudding with, would not have any of that stuff.
I don't like alcohol in food by choice. I don't like sherry trifles.
I'm the same. Yeah, I especially don't like chocolate cognac stuff.
No.
It just doesn't. It,
liqueurs.
Chocolate liqueurs. Horrible. Cracking into a chocolate and having some rum in there. I'm like, what is this doing here? It should be caramel. What the heck?
Caramel?
Is this?
Yeah,
what have I done wrong
totally
in a previous life?
I'm totally the same. That for me is up there with raisins in your couscous classic pineapple pizza thing. I don't like fruit on savoury stuff either.
Before we sort of wrap up, we just couldn't not have this conversation with you. So apparently you've got some words prepared that relate to takeaways of some kind. Is that true?
Or food. It's more food. Yeah.
Food is fine. Yeah, food is fine.
Yes.
So do you want to hit us with them?
Okay. And you've got to try and come up with the meaning, right? Okay, so I'll start with something which is quite easy probably and could refer to takeaways, and that is belly cheer, which is a few centuries old. Belly cheer.
I'm going to go for the rumbling of the stomach, the noises that the stomach makes.
Oh, you mean like a cheer? When
yes,
go,
that's
yeah,
how I was imagining it. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's basically applauding the meal.
I was thinking a sort of collective rejoicing at the food that you've eaten.
Yeah, no, it's quite good. I think, Simon, you're closer here because it is comfort food.
Oh, that's nice.
You were generous by saying I was closer because I'm really...
Well, I think you were.
Okay, still quite far, but okay.
Still quite far. But you'd have lots of belly cheer at Christmas as well. So I think foods that make you happy.
That's a lovely phrase.
It is lovely. And they also had, for the kind of stuff that keeps you going and is a bit healthier, they had belly timber, which is quite good as well. So this the kind of stuff
that
sustains
you.
Yeah, so that was a good one.
What would be your, if you can choose one food as your belly cheer, Susie? I'm probably using that wrong and badly in the sentence, but we are where we are. What would be your choice?
Oh, yes, I've already mentioned it. Any kind of traditional pudding. So it could be spotted dick, it could be treacle pud, it could be apple and blackberry crumble. Usually with custard and ice cream. Anything like that would be me. I love puddings.
And then quickly on that, are you talking hot custard or cold custard?
Oh, God, hot.
Correct answer. Absolutely the correct answer.
Do people have cold custard?
I quite like cold custard on a hot sticky toffee pudding.
Oh.
I'd like a cold custard.
I thought you were going to say hot summer's day there.
On a hot summer's day, I'd love a pint of cold custard, please. Thanks.
Going up to the bar. Nothing better,
right.
Is there? Meeting your friends in the pub.
Can I get 2 IPAs, a glass of white wine, and just a pint of cold custard, if that's all right? Yeah. I've got the powder if you don't have it.
I think if it's yellowy bird's eye packet custard, that would be disgusting. But if it's the kind of creamy, lovely hot stuff that you get in a restaurant, I get that. All right. So the next one then is lubberwort.
Lubberwort.
Lubber, L-U-B-B-E-R, and then W-O-R-T.
I think you should go first this time, Simran. It's unfair. Lubberwort.
Lubberwort sounds like the sort of thing you might find in your food, but shouldn't eat it. that for me sounds like, or that could grow within you if you have eaten some gone-off food.
A lubberwort is someone who has eaten far too much food and is now in the corner groaning. You've become quite, look at that lubber word.
I love it. Okay. Tom, you're definitely close to them because it is, you know how sailors would talk about anyone who was a bit oafish or whatever as a landlubber, somebody who doesn't know the sea. So it's the idea of being a bit oafish and stupid, but the wort bit, a wort is like a plant, kind of family plant. So it actually meant junk food, lubberwort. So it's the kind of stuff that landlubbers would eat and get very fat on.
See, I was kind of on the outskirts in a way.
You were. You definitely were on that one.
Okay, go on. What's next? Hit us.
Okay, I love this one. It's to conjobble.
Conjobble.
Conjobbling.
Okay. I think to conjobble is to open up the cupboards, see what you've got in there, and sort of make a mishmash of different things. Yeah,
I like
I'm going to conjobble something together. That's what I'd say. I haven't done a big shop, so I'm going to just have to conjobble whatever's in the cupboards.
That's really good. I like that. Yeah.
I think conjobble says that you could be doing two things at the same time, and maybe it's the skill of talking and eating at the same time. That's a mad suggestion.
That's totally brilliant, though, because you got the con bit, which was the with bit.
With the with bit, yeah.
Yeah, so to con jobble is to meet friends and have a gossip over food.
Oh, well done, Steve.
So you're just having a chit-chat over food. That's amazing. That was totally spot on.
Round of applause for that. So you're actually picking the words apart and thinking like that. I'm just thinking...
I was. Thanks very much. That's yes, good. Thanks. I was.
No, but you got the etymology of that.
Yeah.
Brilliantly. Okay, so now finally, I've got one for Christmas, and that is a Yule hole.
Okay. You're up first, Sim.
Yule hole. So is that when you've had so much Christmas food, you've had so much food around Christmas time that you feel like you're stuck and you can't get up?
Mm-hmm.
You've eaten so much at Christmas you can't move.
Okay.
So I feel from your reaction, Susie, because it wasn't quite as enthusiastic as one before.
Half of what you said is correct. Half of it is correct.
The fact that you're ready for Christmas.
Could you remind me again what you said, Simran? Just not that I'm going to use this to inform my answer. You're saying is when you've had so much food.
I said the act of overeating at Christmas or something. The feeling you have when you're overeating at Christmas.
That you're in a Yule hole.
So half of that is right. The act of a Yule hole. Let's go for the hunger on Christmas before your Christmas dinner. So are you looking forward to your Christmas dinner? Okay. I've got a real Yule hole going.
Tom's answer just reminded me, when you said you were hungry for Christmas, that Roisin O'Connerty said very recently that she dumped a boyfriend because on Christmas Day, when she had everything awaiting her, all this deliciousness, her boyfriend had porridge for breakfast. She just said, I cannot go out with someone that has porridge on Christmas morning, which is brilliant. Okay, so a Yule hole is the furthest notch on your belt that you to resort to after Christmas.
That's
dinner.
So great.
That is great.
It's a really good one. And it's 250 years old, at least.
What a great one that is. I love
Amazing.
That.
Oh, that's really fun to do. Thank you so much. Those are really fun words.
I know. There are loads of fun words in our language. We just don't use them very often.
Before you leave us, can I ask you one final question? Now, I'm not even sure you'll have an answer to this.
Uh-oh.
We often ask our guests, what is their go-to?
Yes.
3 a.m. McDonald's or Domino's or KFC or drunken order. Now, would you have one of those or am I asking entirely the wrong person?
Yeah, I wouldn't now, probably. I mean, I do drink, but I don't think you would see me out up all night anymore. Yeah, pizza is always really good at that time. But I have to say, for me, it's always going to be chips. Whenever I just need comfort, solid stuff in my stomach that is just delicious, it will always be chips, with a variety of dips for Dictionary Corner.
Yes. Is your dip of choice with a chip? Thousand Island?
No, garlic mayo.
Garlic mayo, lovely stuff.
Yeah.
Classy.
Is it? Oh,
it's the classy choice. It's the classy choice, yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, an absolute joy chatting to you. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. I'm aware you haven't touched your food. Oh, it's just me getting cold.
No, it's because you guys haven't got any food.
That's very polite. We should leave you so you can now eat the food.
I will. And also, yeah. I have to say, you know, on TikTok, they have this ASMR thing where people are eating crisps really close to the microphone. I just can't be doing with any of that. So I didn't want to give your listeners that.
Some of our listeners absolutely love it.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, well, shall I have hang on, let me have a tomato.
That's an entirely silent tomato.
I'm not going to lie, Susie.
It was like you were miming eating a tomato.
For our ASMR fans, that we've been completely let down.
Really angry ASMR fans.
It's probably the wrong trip.
Exactly. That's from eating in a convent school. You've got to be nice and quiet.
That was probably the wrong choice. Okay, let's do some cucumber. This has got to be better, right?
Let's try cucumber.
Silent cucumber as well. Should we try the moussaka?
Did not hear that.
Fair enough. Well, Susie, thank you so much. It's been a joy speaking to you, and enjoy your meal. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news?
All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You can contact the show on Twitter at @FaveTakeawayPod or Instagram on My Favorite Takeaway Podcast. You can email us with your stories of takeaway, woe, gripes, your worries on hello@MyFavoriteTakeawayPodcast.com.
That was a wonderful Susie Dent there. Check out her books. Go and see her on tour. What a brilliant guest. Such a joy to speak to. We'll be back next week for the final episode of this series with the brilliant Ben Clark, who's been nominated twice for the Edinburgh Comedy Award as part of his sketch group Pappies. He's a hilarious man and is literally one of the funnest episodes I think we've ever recorded. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for giving us your time. Once again, leave us a 5-star review. Have a great week.
See you later, Giggle Mugs.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.